It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Well, I was going to start something very beautiful. Here we go. Here we go. Okay, I can't play the whole thing for you because I have a wonderful, amazing, lovely gal on the line. And but first I want to tell you, first of all, hey, I think I hear her talking. Rachel, are you there?
This is Rachel.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even give you a proper introduction because I wasn't sure if you heard that I was taking your call right now. Rachel, we are so thrilled to have you on the show. You know, folks, she was a child prodigy from Chicago. She's from Chicago, my hometown, my favorite town. She started playing violin at the age of 3 and a half. Can you believe that? And debuted with the Chicago Symphony at the age of 10. And would you believe now she's performing all over the world, touring, and she's currently in New York performing. But we're excited. We're having her on the show here because this weekend she's back in Chicago, going to be performing at North Central College's Wentz Concert Hall, the amazing Wentz Concert Hall, on Saturday and Sunday this weekend at 8 o'clock at the Wentz Concert Hall with the DuPage Symphony Orchestra. We are so thrilled. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today, Rachel. Thanks for coming on and calling from New York.
Oh, great to be here. Really excited to be back for my third appearance with the wonderful DuPage Symphony.
Hey, I hadn't known that you'd played with them before. That's fantastic. I know a few years back in 2011, I saw you at the Wentz Concert Hall. You know, I haven't gone to many concerts there, but that was one ticket I had to get. And I saw you were pregnant with your daughter, your only daughter there. You were just adorable.
Yeah.
I brought my daughter Rachel to you there. And we were just, you know, the music was just so lovely and it was so moving, but I have to tell you, you just exude joy in all you do in the music that you make. It just exudes joy. So, Rachel Barton-Pine, we just are so excited to have you on the show, and I just adore you and admire you and love your music. So, thanks for bringing so much joy to the world of what you do. So, how are things with
you? You're welcome. Great. My little one just turned 3, and she's started the violin, so that's been really fun to sort of rediscover my instrument from the perspective of a parent.
And oh, my goodness.
That much more appreciation for all the parents out there who do that with your little ones, including my own way back. But, yeah, it's really fun. I'm basically in a different city or country every week, so it's great to have a concert in my own backyard so that I can actually, like, sleep in my own bed and then go play the show.
And then your daughter is playing. Is she enjoying it right now, or is too young to kind of get to that point where she enjoys it?
No.
Is she enjoying it as much as you did?
She thinks it's great fun. Absolutely. But whereas for me it was an exciting discovery, for her it's just of course I have a violin. So she's definitely has a different relationship to the instrument just because of the environment that she's being raised in. But, you know, it's so wonderful to be able to share my music with my own child, and that just makes me, you know, that much more excited about everything that I do every day.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Now, for you, let's go back to when you were 3. How did it really all start for you? What really made you, at 3 years old, want to pick up the violin?
Yeah, well, it was St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Lincoln Park where my family was attending, and I saw some middle school-age girls playing violin in the sanctuary one Sunday, and they had on the most beautiful long dresses, and I thought the sound of the violin was so entrancing. And so I asked my parents for a violin, and luckily there was a teacher in the neighborhood that summer, just a few blocks down the street. So I started lessons and fell in love with it right away. And by the time I was 5, I had announced that I was a violinist. And it wasn't that I was someone who played the violin. It's that my entire core identity was that I am a violinist. This is what I was meant to do with my life. This is who I am as a person. And my parents, of course, were freaking out because they had no idea, you know, could you even earn a living doing this? What was it all about? What, you know, what kind of classes are they going to have to take me to further my studies? But luckily they were supportive of my dreams, and it all worked out. Now I get to wear those concert gowns, and they're tax deductible.
Yes, you wear the concert gowns, and I also have seen you as a heavy metalist fiddler as well. So you're rocking out, wearing leather and lace, and I saw the lace gloves in your recent picture of yours. What a riot that is. And so I was going to say, you know, when you're in a home where there's classical music, rarely are you exposed to heavy metal. Were your parents aware that you were listening to heavy metal growing up, too? And what did they think of that?
Well, they mostly had classical on in the car, in the house, et cetera. But Santa Claus gave me my first transistor radio when I was 10 or so, and I started strolling up and down the dial and discovering all kinds of different music that I hadn't heard before, from, you know, classic rock to hip-hop to dance music to just you name it. So I was really particularly drawn to hard rock and metal, and especially, if anybody remembers WVVX, at the end of the dial, 103.1, it wouldn't come on until 10 p.m., and it played, you know, deep cuts from a lot of the thrash bands and things like that. And I was just, that music grabbed me. And I thought maybe it was because by that point, from the age of 11 to 17, when I completed my formal training, I was practicing 8 hours a day, not including rehearsals and coachings and concerts and lessons, but just 8 hours a day alone in my room practicing my instrument. Super intense, like training for the Olympics or something. And it was by choice. Nobody was telling me I had to practice that much, but I was just obsessed by it. And so the last thing I could do at the end of the day to just chill out was listen to more classical. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but I couldn't turn off my brain and just, you know, relax. So I'd be like studying and analyzing it. So I thought the metal was just something that was such a departure. I could just rock out and stop, you know, listening with my brain. But it turns out that the reason I was so drawn to metal as a sort of, you know, side kind of on the side kind of music is precisely because it's actually so close to classical in its construction. At least a lot of the more what you might call sophisticated subgenres of metal, those artists are very influenced by classical. A lot of them study classical. And so, in fact, there are quite a few people out there who listen to classical and metal both. So it's been really fun to get to indulge. And, of course, those aren't the only kinds of music I like. I love Scottish fiddling. I love Chicago blues. You know, there's so much good stuff out there. And even with classical, there's such a variety. I've played in Wentz Hall with piano accompaniment, just me and a pianist. And I've played there with a period instrument orchestra of Baroque instruments using gut strings. But I've never actually, you know, I said I'd played with the DuPage Symphony twice before, but never with them at Wentz. And to hear a whole orchestra in that glorious acoustic, boy, that's really something special.
Well, I bet they're going to be thrilled to hear that you find that place glorious. It really is an amazing place to play. I saw you there and Yo-Yo Ma. And I can die tomorrow and feel very satisfied, Rachel, that I've seen two of the most amazing performers and musicians in the world there. Okay, I have to ask you, who's your favorite heavy metal band?
Well, my own, of course. Earth and Grave.
Sorry, I didn't catch the name, Rachel.
Earth and Grave.
Earth and? Okay.
Earth and, like E-A-R-T-H-E-N. Grave, like, you know,
grave.
A grave.
G-R-A-V. I'm sure we can hear the music on YouTube, right? We could probably grab some of the tunes on there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But other than Slayer, it's like, well, in metal now, like, you know, you have to think, okay, well, do I say a band is my favorite because it's, you know, maybe the current configuration, not so much, but the band as they once were is still the highest in my book. So, you know, everything has to be a qualifier. Early Metallica, you know, or whatever. But Slayer still kicks. So
I still can't get over the fact that as a young girl, you practiced for over 8 hours a day. You said you practiced 8 hours a day. Your parents did not make you.
If a kid sits in front of the TV screen and plays video games for 8 hours, nobody thinks death weird, right? And so for me, I just thought playing the violin was fun.
I don't think it's
and
weird
just like
at all.
Those gamers,
I just think it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like those gamers, you know, I was striving to improve my skill and to get to the next level and, you know, flipping the page in the etude book and being assigned the next one was, you know, to me the same thrill as people who, you know, make it through to, you know, level 7 on their World of Warcraft.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is. So,
absolutely.
You know,
makes
for me, it
total
was just
sense.
Fun.
When did your family, did you know without a doubt, or did your family say to you, Rachel, you are more than just talented, you're gifted? Did you know all along that you had something special?
Well, thankfully, my main teacher, I mean, in Roland Zamos, who I started studying with just before I turned 10, they really instilled in me, you know, to not have a competitive spirit, to strive to be my best, to be inspired by others, but not really to want others to do badly or to want to be better than others just for its own sake. You know, music is a collaborative art, and it was really wonderful that they had that attitude, because I think, you know, it's not good for you as an artist to carry those kind of negative vibes, because then your music doesn't express, you know, as beautiful things. But, you know, definitely I was excited by the fact that it wasn't about me being better than anyone else or whatever. It was just I was, you know, easily able, not without hard work, of course, but I was able to achieve what I wanted to achieve, to play the pieces that I loved, that I really wanted to learn, to be able to, you know, do the physical things with my body that I saw older people doing and wanted to learn how to do it too, and, you know, like an athlete or something like that. And then, you know, to know that I was indeed, you know, getting to be skilled enough that I could realistically know that my desire to do this as professionally was realistic. And, you know, I was helping to support my family starting when I was 14. So that was another great blessing, because my family really struggled with poverty for many years. And because I was able to get to a certain level of skill in my violin playing, to be able to work, you know, jobs with adults at that point, that really helped us.
Yeah, and how wonderful that it really wasn't work. You loved it, you enjoyed it, and brought so much joy to your fans and your listeners. You know, you have a huge loyal fan base here in Chicago. A whole city knows you and loves you and adores you, and it goes back to when we all first kind of discovered you, or at least the millions of extra people around you who hadn't heard of Rachel Barton, and it was after the Metra accident. I have to ask you briefly about that, because, you know, you're so well known for your music that this is almost secondary, but it has been, it was such a change in your life, I've heard you talk about it, and how it really was a moment in your life that taught you so many lessons. And especially spiritual ones, too.
I would actually say that that's not entirely accurate, to tell you the truth, because all the struggles that I had growing up as a child, with my father being unemployed and my mom raising me and my younger sisters, you know, so many times when we were about to lose the roof over our heads, that someone would, you know, somebody we knew from church or something would bail us out at the last, you know, not knowing how we were going to put food on the table and also be able to put gas in the tank to drive to my violin lessons, having the electricity and the gas cut off, you know, time and time again. You know, we really struggled throughout my childhood until I was able to earn enough with my violin to help stabilize things to a certain degree. And going through those challenges and trying to hold on to the faith that, yes, I was meant to be a violinist, and, yes, this will work out even though I can't see how, those were lessons I learned then. And then, you know, being physically injured as I was in 95 was not as transformative as people might think, because it was just kind of like, okay, here's yet another obstacle. Not that it wasn't a big deal, but it also was far from being the first obstacle I'd been confronted with.
Certainly, yes. Well, I can definitely see why, that's for sure. It's amazing how far you have come and your family has come, and just your parents have gone going through the struggles of poverty and still keeping you on track and keeping you focused. You know, that really is quite a feat for parents right there. Very admirable.
Absolutely.
You also, a couple of things. I know you have a performance tonight in New York.
Last night, actually.
That's okay.
Yeah, last night, and it was sold out. It was tons of fun. So, yeah, today I'm just running around different meetings, different appointments, and coming home tomorrow and then off to rehearsals.
Well, you do have a wonderful newer album out. It's came out last year, The Violin Lullabies.
And
it debuted at number one on Billboard's traditional classic albums chart. How exciting is that? Was the birth of your daughter the inspiration or motivation for this album?
Totally. Yeah, I've been aware of the genre of the lullaby for a while, that various composers, you know, famous composers, had written lullaby-style pieces for the violin. But, you know, not being a parent yet, I never gave them too much thought. But after my daughter was born, I wanted to play some lullabies for her, and I quickly realized that only possessing two arms, I couldn't simultaneously nurse her and serenade her. So I thought I would record some lullabies so that she could hear them on album. And actually, the first thing I thought was, well, let's buy somebody else's album of lullabies played on the violin. And I was very surprised to realize that nobody had ever made an album like that. So then I thought, well, I'll record some for her. And I started collecting them. I love music research. That's a bit of a hobby of mine, and it's amazing how much you can get done while you're nursing. So I've been breastfeeding her and on the phone with libraries around the world, and I ended up collecting about 150 lullabies from the late 1800s and early 1900s by famous composers, by obscure composers, a real treasure trove, just one beautiful piece after the next. And I realized I need to make this album not just recorded into my own, you know, little recording device for my daughter, but I should make a real CD and share it with everyone's babies. And it was so hard to narrow it down to the 25 that we chose, but each one is a real gem. And obviously a lot of other parents besides me were looking for lullabies on the violin. So it's the most hilarious thing because, you know, I all these years as a rock fan, I've been going out there and saying, classical is so exciting. It's every bit as intense as your favorite rock music, et cetera, et cetera, all of which is true. And now here I've made an album that's actually supposed to put you to sleep. It really works. People who are parents wanting to get their little ones down, or people of any age who are just wanting to relax and take a nap, have all sent me emails saying how well these lullabies work. So it's something I'm really proud of. It's very different.
It is.
25 CDs out, but this is my only one of sleepy pretty pieces like that.
It really is lovely, very lovely. Hey, I have to ask you, you know, we know you've soloed all over the world with orchestras all over the world, and you've worked with famous conductors, Plácido Domingo, one of my favorites, and you've rocked with Guns N' Roses and Sammy Hagar and Robert Plant. So, you know, you really have broken every possible stereotype people may have about classical musicians, that's for sure. And you've just brought the classical music to the masses, all ages. What is it? Who is your favorite conductor to play with? And as far as those the rock stars that we all know, what was a memorable moment for you with them?
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's like I don't want to say one conductor or another conductor because I want them all to hire me back. And I'm not old enough yet to say, oh, my favorite ones were all these ones who are dead. So I'll have to answer that question in 40 years. But, I love the diversity of working with different artists every week and the constant renewal of inspiration, even when I'm doing a piece that I've known and loved, you know, and performed hundreds of times, just playing it with different wonderful conductors always gives me new ideas, and it's you know, so interesting and exciting. I love the fact that I can bring my violin to so many different places, you know, playing for little kids in schools or going into a hospital and playing for people. I've even played in a couple of jails, which has been really a very moving experience.
You really have been all over the world.
But actually, when I come to Chicago, one of my most fun and memorable performances ever was when I got to play at the United Center for a Bulls playoff game during the Michael Jordan era. And not only was it awesome to get to, like, meet the Bulls and get great seats to the game and play for the 25,000 people in the stadium, but the fact that millions watched it on TV and it was an opportunity to show all these people who maybe hadn't seen a classical violin performance before just how cool this instrument is. You know, that was just an incredible experience. really inspired me to want to take my violin to as many people as I can.
Oh, wow. What a neat experience that was for you. And how old were you then at that time?
20.
Oh, you were very young. Yeah. So Chicago is home. And besides the extreme temperatures, what do you love about Chicago? We all love these extreme cold temperatures. It's like below here.
Luckily, I sort of have the best of both worlds because I get to enjoy being a Chicagoan, but I don't have to actually be there every day of the year. Now, sometimes I go to places that are colder, like I'm booked this February to solo with an orchestra in Finland, and then I'll be like, oh, I can't wait to get back to balmy Chicago and our near polar vortex. a lot of times I get to go to Florida in January to play a concert. So it's all kind of zigzagging around and works. But, no, I love the fact that Chicago is every bit as sophisticated as any major city you'd want with all the cultural offerings and everything else. But there's also a friendliness there that doesn't exist in places like New York, where I am right now. It's just a different vibe that I really appreciate, the supportiveness of the Chicago community. And I'm also just, very proud by, we've been out in front on a lot of social issues throughout a lot of our history and the great architecture. I mean, just flying in, doesn't matter how many hundreds, thousands of times I've flown into O'Hare, just looking at the Chicago skyline as I'm getting close, it just takes your breath away every time. And yeah, I'm very patriotic, that's for sure.
Mm. I have to ask, because you mentioned earlier in the conversation that I want to get to your foundation and the reason why you started it, but you growing up, your family struggled financially. Were there teachers, instructors, schools, people that helped you along the way? Because, those lessons are not cheap.
Yeah. Well, I got a scholarship for my actual lessons from the institution through which I studied, the typical financial aid program that a lot of those places thankfully do have. So the lessons were not the big problem. The big problem was the extras, the things that typically a student, even on financial aid, has to pay for out of pocket. New strings for your instrument, concert clothes. My mom would go to the thrift store and get some yucky old bridesmaid's dress and try to fix it up good enough that people hopefully wouldn't notice its origins. Sheet music of the next repertoire you're supposed to study, paying your piano accompanist to play for you during your lessons and concerts and competitions, airfare to the competitions if they're out of state, audition recording sessions. All those things really add up. And, some generous arts patrons helped me out along the way, and, we somehow scraped by, the winnings from one contest would help pay for the next purchase of sheet music, et cetera. But my foundation is pretty unique because we have a program called Grants for Education and Career, where the applicants are evaluated on three fronts: their level of talent and accomplishment, their desire to live a life in music, and also their financial need. And we help with those kinds of costs other than the lessons. One really good example, there was a 14-year-old girl in upstate New York who got accepted to study at Juilliard pre-college. So full scholarship for her lessons, no problem, but she was being raised by a single mother, and they literally couldn't afford the gas, tolls, and parking to bring her to her free lessons in Manhattan every week at Juilliard. So our foundation was able to step in and make the difference, and that's exactly why I started it. We've supported more than 50 young artists at this point, and just really proud of what we've been able to do with the help of so many generous supporters.
That's just wonderful. It's called the Rachel Elizabeth Barton Foundation. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Exactly.
REB
Foundation, but you can access it through my website directly, so you don't even have to remember that. Just go to rachelbartonpine.com, and it's right there.
If you'd like to make a donation, any of my listeners, you can go to Rachel Barton Pine's website and find all that right there, like she just said. And you can support these young artists or those in need of financial support. Well, fantastic. Rachel, thank you so much for all you bring to the world with your music. It is just amazing. Okay, one final question, because you've played all over the world. You have to tell me, where was it? Do you remember the exact moment, where you were, and how old you were and the feeling that you had when you went out on stage? Or was it, has it always been with you where you went out there and said, this is what I will do the rest of my life? This brings me so much joy.
Yeah, it was kind of an evolution rather than a eureka moment. As I said, I started lessons when I was 3.5. By the time I was 5, I was signing my kindergarten papers, Rachel Violinist. The first places where I performed in public were actually not on a concert stage, but in my church during worship. And I think it was, just that experience, using music not, to show off or, glorify myself or that kind of thing. It wasn't about me. It was about using the music to share with people, to help their experience, of the divine, that music is coming from somewhere else. It's a gift, and it's, as musicians, our privilege to uplift people's spirits with that gift. And, that was really what motivated me to want to be a violinist, not even the concerts in the concert hall, but realizing that whether I was in church or in a concert hall, it's all the same. It's all about uplifting people's spirits, and that's why I do what I do, because I feel like I can, somehow bring a little bit of joy and not just superficial happiness like we get with our many different sources of entertainment that we have in our lives, but more of a deep joy, something special that music brings to us that we're really missing out if we don't have. So, but definitely a few of those early orchestras. I first soloed with an orchestra when I was 7, and that was super fun. I had my first tour of Europe when I was 6, and was happy to discover that not only did I love playing my violin for people, but I actually loved life on the road. I loved being in a different city every night and seeing the different architecture, hearing the different languages, trying the different food. It was like a big, great adventure. And I decided at that point at age 6 that, hey, I love this part too. I want to be a touring violinist. And so, a lot of musicians, they love the performances and hate the touring. So I'm definitely blessed that I actually enjoy the whole package. And of course, it helps that my family accompanies me, so I don't have to have a Skype marriage.
Well, thank goodness for that. Yes.
Well, that's actually
road,
my next interview
works.
Calling. That's my next interview calling.
Okay,
in,
Rachel.
So I had better dash, but thank you so
Rachel
much for
Barton
having me
Stein.
On. And I hope to see
you
this
great
weekend.
Talking to you.
Take care.
Yes, we'll see you this weekend at North Central College on Saturday and Sunday. Tickets are still available 8:00 at the Wentz Concert Hall. Thank you, Rachel Barton Pine.
Take care.
Here she is with a little bit of her rock herself, Ozzy Osbourne.
You're listening to The Dolly McCarthy Show.